Not going to stand long. I just want to give you a little background of Brother Conrado and myself and my experience with him. He came to America, I believe, in 2004. I can't remember the first year. Is that correct? And the first time I met him but didn't get to know him, it was 3 years ago when I first went to the Philippines and began to have a great experience of being with him. And I went with several brethren, Brother Gus Harder, Brother Fulmer, one-man son here, Brother Stephen Poe, went with us. And we just had a great time, and Elder Darrell Chambers. And anyway, I become great friends with Brother Conrado and his wife and all the Filipino people. They have, as Brother Gus said, they have a servant's heart, and they really do. They're a loving people, and I can tell you right now, they love the Lord in a tremendous way. Brother Conrado has made great sacrifices in his life, and when I think about the sacrifices that I've made, they don't mean a whole lot to me. Brother Conrado, many of you might know, he graduated from college with a chemical engineering degree, and he surrendered his life to the Lord and forsake all that to pastor church. Nearly all the pastors in the Philippines are full-time, and he suffered greatly economically for that. Now, he wouldn't have been on the level of Americans, but the Bible says, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself, take up his cross. I mean, it demands great sacrifice. I want to feel like I've made some sacrifices, but I've made no sacrifices in comparison to Brother Conrado and his people. But I tell you, you won't find a people on the face of this earth that I've been among, God's people, that love the Lord any more than these people love them. They love the Lord, and they love the Lord's people, and they just love to be with you. And his English may not be as easy for you to understand it as it is for me, because I've come to know him and hear him preach and be with him. And he came, and I took him around the country a few years ago, and we've traveled. We began in Oklahoma City the other night. We had a wonderful meeting there, and the next day we headed to Austin, and actually they had to cancel services because it was raining so much, and some of the folks at night were scared to get out. We went to Tyler, to Elder Vernon Stanlin, there at the Tyler Primitive Baptist Church, and then Friday night we went to Crosbyton, and he preached at Lubbock this morning, and we're blessed to be here. And I want to thank you so much for having him, and he's been a blessing to us, and they're great friends, and we just love them dearly. We love them as our own family, and again, he's a great blessing to the Lord's people, and I'm going to ask him to come ahead and preach for us now.
Thank you, Brother Kenny. I think this pulpit is not intended for a preacher like me. Because,
turn this light on.
Okay. Okay, because this pulpit for the big and tall preacher. I'm not that kind of... Thank you so much, Brother Kenny. May the Lord bless your heart and also this church. Like Barnabas, when he saw the believers there in Antioch, he was glad. He saw the grace of God to them. Now, tonight, I want to share with you what is my reason or reason why I love the doctrine of God's grace. You know, before we embrace this kind of doctrine, we experience a lot of baptism in the Philippines. I was raised as Catholic. Then I was converted to the evangelical church there. And then I was baptized there. And after that, when I read my Bible, I believe that the church that Christ built is the Baptist. That time, I looked for a Baptist church. When I found one Baptist church in my place, in our place, he baptized me again. And after that, I saw their doctrine. I look again, another Baptist. Then, another Baptist, he baptized me again. Until such time, I told to my friend, please bring me to the original Baptist. Oh, there is one What's that? You need to go to the Bible Baptist. They are strong in doctrine. Then I go to Bible Baptist and they baptize me again. Because they believe that those churches has no authority to baptize people. And again, when I was in seminary, during that time, I studied. My professor, college professor in our seminary, our subject during that time is Baptist distinctive. He teaches about Baptist, the distinction of the Baptist. And then I asked him, "Sir, what is our distinctive to other denomination?" "Well, Conrado, we believe that the Word of God, the Bible is the Word of God." So I told him, "Sir, other denomination believe that. So what's our distinctive?" "Ah, don't mind that." So I stopped studying. I spend my time in our library. I gather all the books about Baptists. I read about primitive Baptists. When I read that, one pastor said, "Oh, don't read about much about the primitive Baptists because they are heretic. Don't read that. It's dangerous for you." Okay. But I'm curious during that time because the primitive Baptists believe in the doctrine of election. Total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, and irresistible grace, and the one is preservation of the saints. Well, that time, my curiosity leads me to study more. And I found out that during that time, the only denomination in the Philippines that carry that kind of doctrine is the Landmark Baptist. Landmark Missionary Baptist. They claim that they are sovereign gracer. So I went to them and then I asked if they believe in the doctrine of grace. "Yeah, we believe that." Then they rebaptized me again. My wife asked me, "Is this the last baptism?" "I don't know. But we need to journey for the truth." Then one time, my friend told me, "Elder Quinto, there's a primitive Baptist from America. He will arrive here in the Philippines. Do you want to invite him?" No. "I don't want to join in the primitive Baptist." "Why?" "Maybe he will rebaptize me again." "I don't want to join with the primitive Baptist." "No, why don't you try? They believe what you believe. Really? Why don't you try?" Okay. I invited Elder Gus Harter in our church. The first time I hear in his sermon, "The wind bloweth where it listed," he expounded about the work of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. We are shocked that time. That is our first time to hear the pure sovereign grace of God. And some of our members crying. God is highly exalted that time when he preached the doctrine of grace. Then, when the Landmark Missionary Baptist heard that I invited primitive Baptist minister, he came immediately in our church and he stand there in our pulpit. "You invited primitive Baptist? Ah, they are in the wrong doctrine." I was shocked. "No, sir. He preached about the doctrine of grace. He preached that the Father, God the Father, He chose people independently. And God the Son was crucified on the cross independently. And the Holy Spirit quickens the dead sinner independently." "Ah, you're primitive Baptist." "No, I'm not primitive Baptist. He accused me that I'm Primitive Baptist. No, I'm not. I'm a Landmark Baptist. Okay, Elder Quinto, Brother Quinto, please. You are inclined to the Primitive Baptist. No, I'm a Landmark Baptist. Okay, one question. And after this, I have no further question. What is that, sir? Do you believe that the Bible of preaching the gospel is the means to regenerate sinners? I don't answer him. I don't know, sir. I don't know about that. Okay, open your Bible in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed to preach the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." You see, Elder Quinto, this is the power of God unto salvation. I told him, "Sir, continue reading. To them that believe it, they're already child of God. They're already believers. That is the reason why the word of God has the power, has a power to them." Ah, you are a Primitive Baptist. No, sir, I'm a Landmark Baptist. You believe what Primitive Baptists believe in America. You know, Elder Quinto, the Primitive Baptists there in America, oh, they are dying. What? I don't know. I've been there. You know, the Primitive Baptist Church in America, they worship once a month. I don't know, sir. They are straight jacket. They are hard shell. They are antinomianism. I don't know about that. What is that? He didn't explain to me. Then he cut my support. We experienced suffering that time because he cut our support. Our offering that night, at that time, $2 a week. That's our offering. We suffered a lot. Because of the doctrine of grace, they accused me that I'm a Primitive Baptist. I don't know about that. Then he declared non-fellowship in our church. Then we cried during that time. Even my wife, even my whole family, we cried to the Lord. And then one of our elders, he's an old man, he said, "Elder Quinto, if they accuse us that we are Primitive Baptists, and if our doctrine is the same in the Primitive Baptist doctrine, why don't we join in the Primitive Baptist? They are our true brethren." I told him, "Why not? I will call Elder Gus Harter in America." Then I call him, "Elder Gus, who is this?" "This is Brother Conrado." "Hey, Brother Conrado, how are you doing?" "Well, I'm not doing good." "What?" He said that, "Sir, please come. We need to be rebaptized." "Ah," he said, "I'm coming." That time, he come and he rebaptized 70 people. We cried during that time. We embraced the true doctrine of God. How I love the doctrine of grace. I love this doctrine. Brethren, I have a good news for you. My English will last only for 10 minutes. And after that, lobat. I need to recharge. Now, if I commit mistake in my English, he is my English professor, Brother Kenny. Don't blame me. You can blame him. No, but he's a good man and fine man. Before I hate this man, but now I love him. He's one of my mentors. Now, let's go to the message of God this afternoon or this evening. When did grace start? When was the origin of grace? I know the biblical answer is it originated in the eternal heart, mind, and the will of God before the world began. Doubtless, dateless eternity. Since eternity past, it was the closest and dearest things in the heart of God. Grace is God's eternal heartbeat, I believe. Now, the first reason why I love this doctrine is the very character of God is the origin and foundation of grace. The living God is a gracious God. God the Father was a gracious Father. God the Son was a gracious Son. And God the Holy Spirit was gracious Spirit. Our grace come from the greatness of God Himself. His majestic, His holy, His gracious and loving character. The supreme and all-compelling reason why I love this doctrine lie in the glory and greatness of God Himself. In Psalms 96, verses 2 up to verse 4, sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people, for the Lord is great, and greatly to be praised, He is to be feared above all gods. This is the God of the Bible. Sovereigns who truly reigns. A Savior who truly saved. A Savior, a Shepherd who truly cares for His sheep. And the All-Sufficient, one who truly supplies the needs of His people. Oh, may God raise new ministers who will proclaim the majesty of God and the glory of His grace among the heathen. For the God of grace is not a God who is helpless and impotent. For the God of grace, my beloved brethren, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, according to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 up to 29. Think the eternal love of God. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, it says, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. This everlasting love is the bond of our union. A perfect, a permanent, and powerful band that joins all His elect eternally to Jesus Christ. This love is infinite, indissoluble, inseparable, and invincible. The salvation of all the elect is deeply rooted in the heart of the elector. My beloved brethren, the root and explanation of salvation is not in the elect, but in the heart, mind, and will, which is irresistible will of the elector, according to Romans chapter 9, verses 10 to 24, and chapter 11 of Romans, verses 5 up to 10. Brethren, it is the profound truth that God has elect and has redeemed for Himself out of every tribe and every tongue and people and nation. As it says in Revelation chapter 5 verse 9 and Revelation chapter 7 verse 9, that should excite us, that should energize us, and worship and give thanks that God's people to praise the sovereign God. This then is the meaning of God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have an everlasting life. Whole world, why? For His love covers all continents, all colors, all cultures, all classes, all communities of men. Since the author of the book of John is John himself, and the book of Revelation, John is the author. John 3:16 should be interpreted by Revelation chapter 5 verse 9. And Revelation chapter 7 verse 9, it cannot mean all without exception. For certainly, there were already people in hell. When Christ came to die at Calvary, and Christ did not elect all without exception. In Romans chapter 8 verses 35 up to 39, make it clear that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And if there are people when Christ loved with an everlasting love that went to hell, then Romans chapter 8 verses 35 and 39 is not true. At all the verses in the Bible that speaks about the drawing, the quickening, regenerating, and saving power of God's love. In Jeremiah 31 verse 3, John chapter 6 verses 37 up to 39, verses 44 and 45, and Ephesians chapter 2 verses 4 up to 10, Ephesians chapter 5 verses 25 to 27, and 1 John chapter 4 verse 19 are nullified and rendered meaningless. My beloved brethren, I dare you to make a diligent and careful study of God's Word, and you will be convinced that God did not love all without exception, with an everlasting love, but only the elect. Now, the second thing I want to share it with you, the very counsel of eternity is the origin of grace. In Acts chapter 15 verse 18, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. And in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 3 says, the work were finished from the foundation of the world. Please study the interrelatedness of these verses. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 4 to 11 and chapter 3 verses 9 to 11. It is clear from all these verses that the perfect blueprint of grace was finished before the foundations of the world. The wonderful result of the counsel of the Trinity is the counsel of God, the triune God, that Trinity designs, determined, and decreed all things that will take place in His creation for the good of His people, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. My beloved brethren, the very counsel of eternity is the origin of grace. Another thing is the very covenant of God is essential to our understanding of grace. The Trinity jointly plan and purpose to undertake our salvation, resulting man's eternal covenant among the Trinity. God the Father promised to give His all elect to God the Son, and God the Son promised to die for all the elect. And God the Holy Spirit promised to quicken all that Christ died for. It is very essential, my beloved brethren, that we see the interrelatedness of the work of the Trinity in the salvation of His people. We have reduced the work of redemption into an anomalous and disorganized work of the Trinity. If the Father is pictured as a God who does not know who will be saved, and God the Son as who died for no one in particular, to secure nothing, for sure, and the Holy Spirit as one who does not know whom to regenerate, and the Trinity as pictured as a frustrated God who is helpless and powerless to save. Such is not the God of grace, my beloved brethren, not the God of the Bible. Away with such disgusting theology. Let the Arminians bow down to the God they had made. But as for us, as believers of the doctrine of grace, we will bow down to the God who made us, the Creator of all things, who is sovereign, supreme, and supernaturally at work in the lives of all His elect. We will boldly proclaim everywhere that God's grace we love is invincible, irresistible, and very powerful. As the great hymn writer said, we will sing of His power to save. For the blood of Jesus Christ will never lose its power. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. I love you, my beloved brethren. This is the reason why we love the doctrine of grace. We love God. We put God into His proper place. We ought to thank God. We ought to worship God. My beloved brethren, we love you. This is the God whom we serve in the Philippines. Almighty, powerful God. We worship. I love you, brethren. May the Lord bless us all. God bless you.